Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening in, and hope everything is getting off to a good start around your house today. We invite you to get your Bible and study along with us here in a minute as we'll be looking at Psalm 23 and some of the great information in that psalm that will help us today draw closer to God. We want to invite you to be with us at the Eastside Church this morning. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, just off Highway 31, 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. And we'll be meeting at 9:30 this morning. That's a bit of a change for us. We had been meeting at 10, but we'll be meeting at 9:30 this morning. We invite you to be with us. We're still masking and doing social distancing, and we have special filters in the auditorium and all that kind of stuff. So we invite you to be with us to worship our God, the God who gave us this great day. We're having a beautiful spring, just, you know, rain and sunshine and all the stuff that we need, and the flowers are out, and it's just so many blessings from God day by day. And we'll be meeting to worship and honor that God. So be with us if you can. And if you can't join us at Eastside this morning, we invite you to check us out online. You can go to our website, eastside-church.org, and check on the media tab. You can actually view the worship service this morning online through our media tab there. Just go to the live streaming, or you can check us out on Facebook. We're also live streaming on Facebook, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama. So I'd love for you to participate with us in honoring our God and studying His Word together and drawing closer to Him and walking this way that leads to life. That's what this program is all about. Well, as I mentioned a minute ago, I want to direct your attention this morning to what may be the most well-known passage in the Bible, Psalm 23. And it's familiar, as I said, to just a lot of folks, maybe not everybody, but it's a beautiful psalm. It's written by King David of old, who you may remember grew up as a shepherd, and he relates his relationship with God, with the Lord, to God being his shepherd and he being a sheep. And it's an interesting metaphor, but it's one that really helps us understand what God is doing for us and how he helps us in our souls and in our spirits. So I want to read this very familiar psalm, Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So here's this marvelous psalm that paints this wonderful picture of a sheep who's being cared for by a loving shepherd. And as you notice, it is a wonderful position for the sheep to be in. He's just joyously reveling in this relationship that he has with the shepherd and in his shepherd's good care and the things that the shepherd is doing for him. And so it just starts out, the Lord is my shepherd. What a statement to say that the God of the universe is the one who's looking out for you. And because the Lord is our shepherd, he says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything that I need is going to be supplied to me. Now, that's not a promise that, you know, you'll just live like a king your entire life, but the things that you need for your soul will be provided for you by the shepherd. He'll give you rest and sustenance to sustain you spiritually. And, you know, the metaphors there of lying down in green pastures and walking beside the still waters. And then I want to really focus with you this morning on verse 3. There are really three parts of this short verse that I want to spend some time thinking about with you this morning. First of all, it says, you know, he leads me beside the still waters, and then it says, he restores my soul. Secondly, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. And thirdly, for his name's sake. And I just want to break that down this morning. Those three parts of that, three phrases in that verse. First of all, what the Lord does for us is he restores our souls. The word restore is an interesting word. You know, if you look it up in the dictionary, it has several different definitions with a little different nuance of meaning to each of the definitions. But restoration means the act of replacing to a former state. So you take something back to where it was to begin with, so to speak. So we speak of a person being restored to his office. Say he lost an office, a political office or something like that, and then he gained it back. Or we talk about somebody being restored to good standing in society. The word restoration also refers to renewal or revival or reestablishment. So you have a restoration of a relationship between friends. Maybe you had a falling out and their friendship is restored. Or you have a restoration to peace after a time of war. Restoration also refers to recovery or renewal of health. A lot of people have been sick with various things, especially this COVID virus lately, and you might talk about them being restored to health. And so they're back to where they were before the illness hit them. Restoration can refer to recovery from a lapse into any bad state. And when you think about it spiritually or relative to religious things, Webster defines it this way: it's the final recovery of all men from sin and from alienation to God. And so when we are alienated from God and we are in sin, the Lord can restore us back to a peaceful and harmonious relationship with him and allow us to have peace within ourselves. The reality is that sin breaks us. Sin is brokenness. It is not what God intended us to live in. It is not how he intended us to be. It mars our souls. It really destroys us spiritually. And what God is saying to us here, what the psalmist is saying to us, is that the Lord will restore your soul. And I just want to tell you this morning, if you don't think your soul needs restoring, probably this psalm doesn't mean much to you. But if you recognize that you are not in the inward man, you are not what you ought to be and what you want to be, that there's a brokenness to you and something that needs fixing, the Lord's the one who will help you. A lot of people in the world today, frankly, don't feel like there's anything in them that needs fixing. And if that's our case, if we don't see that we have a problem, that we have a problem that our inner being is not as it ought to be, our relationship with God is not as it ought to be, if we don't understand that and we don't see that in ourselves, you know, having your soul restored is meaningless to you. But to those of us who understand that sin has marred our lives and our life is not what we want it to be, we could be so much better. We could have so much joy within us, so much more joy within us, and so much such a better relationship with the God of heaven. If we understand that, then when you look at a passage that says the Lord restores your soul, that's something that's intriguing to you. That's something that's interesting. That's something that you want. The idea of restoration, he restores my soul. The idea of restoration is that you had an original state that was good, and it got defiled in some way. It got messed up. It went bad. And so you're trying to get it back to its original state. So you may have, you know, this old house, and you hear about houses being restored, and you have this old house that's been broken down and dilapidated and aged, and, you know, shingles are falling off of it, and it's got structural problems and all that. So you have somebody go in there and restore it to its original state. That's a lot of work, but it can be just as beautiful as it was to begin with. That's what God is doing for us. The idea, though, that we were good to begin with because God made us good to begin with. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, when he created man, he said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." So man is made in the image of God. He's made in the inner man as a replica of God in a number of ways. He's got an eternal soul. He's got a sense of right and wrong. He has an affinity for holiness and glory. That's how man was created to be. And yet, that's been marred by our behavior, by our choice to sin. You have a passage like Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29, which says, "This only I have found, that God made man upright, but they sought out many schemes." See, God made man whole. He made man in a great condition, in his own image. But human beings have found lots of ways to mar that image of God, to cause, you know, destruction and damage to their own souls. So what we're reading in Psalm 23, "He restores my soul." He can bring you back to that original design and structure that you had as a human being. If you had something then that was originally good and needs restoring, the implication there is that it's been corrupted, it's lapsed into a bad state, or it's gotten lost, as a sheep might get lost. And that latter idea is certainly a fitting concept for the restoration of a lamb. And that's, again, getting back to the 23rd Psalm, the psalmist is seeing himself as that lamb that the shepherd's taking care of. He restores my soul. He restores my soul because my soul was lost, like a lamb gets lost. In Psalm 119 and verse 176, the psalmist says, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant." The psalmist there realizes that he has gone astray. He needs to be restored to the fold, so to speak. And it's only the shepherd that can do that, that's going to come out and rescue him and restore him to that great situation that he was in. And then that kind of brings us to a big point that we need to discuss. When the psalmist says, "He restores my soul," I mean, you're thinking of what God has done for him and what he will do for us. But we're not really thinking a lot about what it takes to restore a soul, or the price that the Lord has to pay, or the effort that he has to go to restore a soul. To restore a soul means that there has been considerable effort made to effect that restoration. Again, think about restoring a lost sheep. You know, the one who is ruined, who is wrecked, and who is broken needs help and can't do it himself. And so he needs help to be restored. And that's the situation of a lost sheep. And so Isaiah talks about this in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. And he says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." All of us are broken. All of us have gone lost. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." That's a prophecy of the coming Christ, the Lamb of God, if you will, who will take away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ did such amazing work so that the lambs could be restored. We've all gone astray like lost sheep, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all in order to restore us. Jesus talks about this and uses the same kind of terminology in Matthew chapter 18. I want you to look over there if you're at home and you have your Bible. Matthew 18 and verse 11. Of course, Jesus often referred to himself as the Son of Man. He says, "The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." That's why he came. He came to restore the lost sheep. And then Jesus goes on and uses this illustration. He says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 who did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." God doesn't want anybody to be lost. And God sent his Son to restore the souls of the sheep, to restore us. And again, what a wonderful thing for God to do. But it's something that I think we don't appreciate enough, what he's done and the cost of it and what it took for Jesus to come and save the sheep that had gone astray. We sing a song sometimes. It's an old hymn. And it's a beautiful song. I'm not going to read all of the lyrics to you, but I think the first verse or so kind of hits on what Jesus is talking about there in Matthew chapter 18. He says, "There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they done enough for thee?" But the shepherd made answer, "This of mine has wandered away from me, and although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep that was lost." What Jesus went through to come to this sin-cursed world, to live among men as a man and live a perfect life, God on earth, living a perfect life so that he might be our Savior, giving his life on a cross in a horrible death, being raised the third day and ascending back to the Father. It's hard even to fathom the Son of God leaving the courts of heaven to come and find you and me, the lost sheep, to restore our souls. But that's what he did. That's the effort that he went to. In John chapter 10, a great chapter, we sometimes call it the chapter of the Good Shepherd, because Jesus there describes himself as the Good Shepherd. And he says specifically in John 10 and verse 11, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep." That's what Jesus did. So when we read in Psalm 23, "He restores my soul," do we appreciate what he's done to accomplish that? It was no easy task. What a sacrifice, what effort Jesus expended for you and for me so that we could have lives that are worth living, so that we could be what God intended for us to be from the beginning. There's a text in Luke chapter 15 where Jesus talks along the same line. He uses the same sort of metaphor, but he expands it a little bit. And I want to look at that. Luke chapter 15 and verse 4. In this chapter there, Jesus tells stories about three lost things. He talks about a woman that lost a coin, a shepherd that lost a sheep, and a man that lost his son. And it's that second one we'll start with in Luke 15 and verse 4. And again, Jesus asks, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' Then Jesus says, 'I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance.'" Jesus is interested in the one sinner that will repent, the one who's lost, the one whose soul is marred by sin and who is in deep need of help. If you recognize yourself as that person, I want you to know that Jesus came to help you. Jesus came to save your soul, to restore your soul. Later on in this chapter, as I mentioned, you have the shepherd and the sheep illustration, but later on in the chapter, you have a father losing his son, the prodigal son, we call him, who goes out and wastes his substance on a sinful living. But then he comes home, he comes to himself and he comes home and he's restored to his father. And the father, in explaining the attitude that he had and the household had in receiving his son, says, "It was right that we should make merry and be glad." It's a happy occasion when a soul is restored. It's happy not only for that soul, but for heaven itself. We need to appreciate what Christ has done for us, or what he wants to do for you if your soul still needs fixing, if it still needs restoring. I want you to think about that. The second thing I want to notice in Psalm 23 and verse 3, "He restores my soul," it says, "but also he leads me in the paths of righteousness." So he wants your soul to be what it can be. He wants your soul to be what he created it to be, whole and healthy and sound. But he also wants then to lead you in the way that you should go so you don't get lost again. What a blessing that is for the shepherd to guide us. And again, back in John 10, the chapter where Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, He says about the good shepherd, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will not by no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Later on in the same chapter, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The great thing about being a restored sheep, a restored lamb, is that now you have guidance. You know, this program is called The Way That Leads to Life. And the deal is that we have a shepherd who guides us in the way that leads to life. We don't have to get lost again. We don't have to have our souls marred and our lives ruined and messed up by the devil's work and sin in our lives. We have a shepherd that leads us in the way that leads to life. All we need to do is listen to his voice. And the question really is, are we doing that? Are we listening to the voice of Jesus? Are we, you know, sort of following our own way when it comes to living our lives? We're talking this morning to who knows who, but I'm sure there are some who are not listening to the voice of Jesus in your life. Jesus says, my sheep, you know, the sheep that are restored to the fold, the sheep that are not lost anymore, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. They're not listening to anybody else. They're listening to the voice of Jesus. That's so critical in the way that leads to life, because what sheep do is they get lost, right? They get lost easily. Men get lost easily as well. In fact, Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 says that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. We try to you know, live our own lives our own way, and we get lost in a hurry, and we'll mess up our souls for now and eternity, unless the Savior comes into our lives to restore our souls. Sheep don't know the right way, but the shepherd does. In Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 24, the prophet Ezekiel talks about the coming of the Christ, the son of David. He says, David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd, and they shall all walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Here's the key to being a sheep of the shepherd. You know, the one who's had his soul restored and doesn't want to get lost again. You don't follow your own judgments anymore. You don't live life your own way anymore, but you follow the way of the shepherd. You walk in his judgments. You observe his rules. You know, the idea of living by no rules or living by your own rules or living life on your own terms, that's all out the window, because if you live life that way, you'll wreck it. You'll ruin it. It'll need to be restored. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has come to restore our souls and to lead us in the ways that are right. Back over in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13, the writer says, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now, Jesus is the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep, that leads us in the ways that please God and that will be pleasing ourselves to ourselves as well. Our souls are restored, and we're led in paths of righteousness. We're led in the right way by our shepherd, Jesus Christ. He's not going to lead us in the wrong way. You know, Jesus actually taught us to pray in Matthew 16 and verse 8 and verse 13, Matthew 6 and verse 13, lead us not into temptation. And the shepherd will not lead us into temptation. He will lead us in ways that are right. So important to listen to his voice. And that's why we encourage you to do things like attend church with us at Eastside, come to our Bible studies, enroll in a Bible correspondence course. We offer those online, by the way, if you'd like to go to eastside-church.org and sign up for a Bible study from home, a Bible correspondence course that you can take through the mail or online, either way. And all of that is just getting folks to listen to the shepherd, who's our guide in life. He's the way that brings us to the Father. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We need to listen to his voice, and his voice alone. And when we have that great relationship with him, We're walking a way that leads to life. Proverbs 12 and verse 28, the wise man says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death." Jesus says, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Oh, you may pass away physically, but the thing is, you'll be in a life relationship with God, a living relationship with God in this world and in the world to come. So there's never a time when you're separated from God if you're walking the way that leads to life. Death in the Bible is often a spiritual death that refers to separation from God. And that's why your soul needs to be restored if you're separated from God. David in the Psalm says, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness." He does that after he restores the soul. The third thing I want you to notice about Psalm 23 and verse 3, "He restores my soul, he leads me in the paths of righteousness," and then he does that, it says, "for his name's sake." God is deserving of glory and honor, reverence and worship. His name is to be honored and magnified. He's done so much. I mean, we talk about his creation every week when I come on this program. You know, I mentioned something about the day that God has given us and the beauties of creation around us and how he's such a great God, and he just deserves our honor. He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. He deserves the commitment of our entire lives. But here, what we're learning this morning is that he has restored our souls. He's the good shepherd who is caring for us in every way, physical and spiritual. And so his name should be glorified, should be held in high esteem. There's a beautiful passage back in the book of Micah, which is another prediction of the coming of the Christ. It says in Micah chapter 5 and verse 4, "He shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth." Here's the greatness of our shepherd. Great to the ends of the earth. Oh, we need to magnify him. We need to give our lives over to that. It worries me sometimes when, you know, I talk with people who, I ask them, do they believe in Jesus? And yes, they believe in Jesus. Well, how often do you worship him? How often do you assemble with people who are worshiping him and glorifying him in the way that he's asked us to? And, well, you know, I don't go to church, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, there's a problem there. There's a disconnect. If God is to be magnified, if our shepherd is to be magnified and glorified, you know, that doesn't happen just by you just going and living your life your own way, however you want to live it. There are some ways that he's asked us to glorify him, both individually and collectively, and we need to be about doing that. His name shall be great to the end of the earth, and the strength of the Lord, the majesty of the name of the Lord our God. So the beautiful thing is that we have a shepherd. I have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness. The Lord does. It's not my way that's right. It's his way that's right. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, and he does that for his name's sake. So Psalm 34 and verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Let's do that. Let's do that. Bring Christ your broken life, and he will restore your soul, and he'll lead you in the way of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, again, we thank you for tuning into the broadcast today, and hope that our message this morning has blessed your life and encouraged you to allow Jesus to be your shepherd and to follow his ways. Hope you have a great week. Strive to walk the way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside,